Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. I'm your host, Mike Jokum. Frenchie is here. The 2024 IndyCar season is upon us. I hope everybody made the best of a chaotic offseason, lawsuits galore. It's, you know, the season is here, but then we have a couple weeks off. We're not going to complain about that this week. But Frenchie, it's your wedding week, and instead of asking a non-racing question, I want to see, like, you know, we were kind of talking beforehand, like, what do you have to do this week before, I guess, Friday? Are you, you know, is everything essentially ready at this point and all that fun jazz?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much at this point, if I haven't thought of it yet, I don't want anyone to remind me because I don't want to have to scramble and run to figure out whatever it is. We've actually had a string of cancellations, unfortunately, like some people just figuring out, of course, the week of that they can't come, which kind of sucks because we've already paid for them. So
can you backfill them? Do you have
I think we can.
An alternate?
Yeah. I don't.
Sure.
Other parties that have been engaged in the wedding planning may be able to somehow tell these people, hey, you didn't make the first cut, but you're the first on my alternate list.
First alternate not to be invited to a wedding. Oof, that's got to be rough.
Yeah. So that's always going to be.
So you probably head to the hotel, what, like Friday morning you'll be over that way?
Yeah, I think I'm actually dropping stuff off there on Thursday.
But okay.
Yeah, I'll actually check in pretty early on.
You're not staying Friday. There Thursday. You're staying at home.
You're
going home. Okay. Cool. Yeah, I was just getting my stuff ready. Like I told you, had to order a white t-shirt underneath. I got my clothes ready. I got my button down shirt in the mail last week. Got shoes. I got new shoes for this wedding. Brand new regular plain dress black shoes, but maybe they'll make me dance better than normal. Actually, the only thing that's going to make me able to dance is a decent amount of adult beverages. Otherwise, I will not be dancing, but I'm not too concerned about that.
Do you think all the drivers that I invited will end up showing up and like just missing, I don't know, showing up to the race hungover?
Probably not. No, unfortunately. Yeah. Sorry to burst your bubble there, but they will not.
I mean, Mr. Malukas was going to be my best man, but
yeah,
then he went and hurt himself. You know?
Yeah.
Good excuse.
What a bad friend. Yeah. I'm not getting married this weekend, but I have so much to do this week before we take the train down Friday morning that I have three different to-do lists on my phone right now. I have a work to-do list, I have a podcast to-do list, and I have not a podcast to-do list, a like just personal to-do list, and then I have a, you know, pack your, you know, dress socks, pack your dress shoes, drop the dog off. The dog's going to my parents Wednesday night until early next week. I figured Sunday I'm likely going to be hungover even when I get back into Philly, so I'm giving myself I'm giving myself a day just to like lounge on the couch and do nothing on Sunday. And I'll watch the race Sunday. I don't know if I'll be. We get into Philly right around the time of green flag on Sunday, so I'm. Don't know if I'll watch it live, but you know, somewhere maybe I'll catch it like slightly delayed.
And then faster through commercials that way.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing on the NASCAR stuff, and that's what I did with Vegas. Is I skipped like all the pre-race stuff, and then would just skip through all the cautions and all the commercials and everything, and it makes it go like. I don't remember for this one because this one was a little bit smoother, but like last week at Atlanta, the TV window was 4 hours and 17 minutes, and I got it done in like an hour and 40 minutes or roughly around there. It was fantastic. All right, so here's our plan for today. Obviously, next week, Frenchie will not be here. but don't worry, we have a guest co-host. It's going to disappoint everybody. I'm really not looking forward to recording next week, but I promised this person he could guest host at some point, so next week it is.
Is he auditioning to replace me?
No, that will never happen.
I don't know, maybe he's going to wow us.
You know all that, like, those memes that are like, if I say X, Y, and Z, you know I've been kidnapped. Like, if I say blah, blah, blah is the new co-host, I've been kidnapped.
Okay, that's a cry for help if you end up ever saying that. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We've got three pieces of news. Going to go a little quick. Then we're going to do our season predictions. We will do quick St. Pete predictions at the end. Green flag is Sunday. I'm guessing probably a little after 12:30 p.m. Eastern time on the big NBC. Practice Friday is on Peacock. Practice and qualifying on Saturday is at Peacock. We will not obviously be there. We will also not be tweeting anything, so the account will be quiet. Our socials will be quiet all weekend. If you don't, maybe I'll post like some wedding stuff, pictures that I take on my phone on Twitter, like on my personal Twitter on Saturday, so people can see what we're up to. But that depends on if I remember and how depends on how I'm feeling.
So, well, the first part of the day will be fine.
Yeah, the first part of the day will be fine. But I did. So Saturday we went out. Saturday night we went out to dinner, and we each had like three margaritas. We got a pitcher of margaritas from this Mexican place that was $22 for a pitcher. Normally it's $14 a drink, and we got about three drinks each out of it. That was pretty good. But then I remembered I'm old, and alcohol hits me a lot quicker than it used to. And like I was okay by the time we got home, and I had to walk the dog. But we both did pass out very early Saturday night. Like I think. Like 10 o'clock, and I had so many text messages. I had like four Instagram reels from you, four Instagrams from one of your other groomsmen, you know, a couple from my mom, a couple from girlfriend's mom. Like everybody who usually sends me something on Instagram sent me something Saturday night when I was asleep.
All right. See, that means you woke up to some good entertaining stuff, some content that had been curated for you.
Yes. Thank you, content curators of my Instagram following. If you would like to follow me, you can try, but my account is private there because I don't want people creeping on my stuff. So, Frenchie, what news should we start with?
I think we're going to start with the oldest piece of news, and by old, it was only announced 3 days ago. That is the fact that Pato O'Ward, friend of the show and fantastically talented driver, mm-hmm. has a new deal with McLaren. Mm-hmm. It's a multi-year contract extension. I think it was rumored to be pretty nice financial reward.
$10 million total.
Yeah. So I don't know what that means in terms of a multi-year contract. If it's three, then, you know, it's three something million a year.
Goes through 2027. It's a 2 year extension on the end of his.
Okay.
Current deal. So, you know, he goes to 2027.
All right. Well, I mean, I think he deserves to be paid more than that, because what are they paying their F1 drivers, you think, a year? Easily more than $10 million.
Yeah, for sure.
Per year. Come on, Pato. No, I'm just kidding. I don't blame him at all, but it just goes to show you that the salaries are a little
different
between
very
the
different.
Two series. Yes.
Yeah, the market
is
very
this is
different.
One of the top guys in the series, and that's good. I mean, I'm glad to see him stay at the team. There was a while there, what, last year, where we were worried about his status at the team, if he was unhappy there, mm-hmm. what was going to happen kind of going into last season, I think. But they seem to have worked all that stuff out, and I mean, he's the longest tenured driver there,
yeah,
in their current lineup at least. And
yeah,
I think he's set for some good results. I mean, he wants to be with that team as they continue to improve and move up the ladder.
I still think Arrow has some work to do as a team. You know, I think last year they got better on the strategy front. I don't think there was as many silly strategy mistakes as in the past, but
because of, you know, one certain individual.
Yeah. But they also, as far as I can remember, didn't win a race last year. You know, Pato didn't win any race. He had a ton of podiums, but I don't think they, you know, I'm looking now. Pato had no wins. He had 9 top fives and 14 top tens. Rossi didn't have a win. He had 6 top fives, 11 top tens. And Rosenqvist had no wins, 4 top fives, 8 top tens. So, yeah, they didn't have a win last year. So I'm not saying they're a bad team. They're still a top three, you know, clearly over Andretti at this point, even though Andretti had wins last year, because they were significantly more consistent over the full season. But I still think they have another level to go to even consider themselves in the same vein as Ganassi or Penske. So like right now, it's Ganassi and Penske. You could make the argument one of them is one and one of them is two. But you can't make an argument. Maybe you could. I don't think you can make an argument that McLaren is better than either of them. Like McLaren is the clear number three, and I think like you could debate almost any team ranking in IndyCar except McLaren. Like McLaren is definitely number three. Like you could say Dale Coyne is the worst because Dale Coyne doesn't even have a driver technically right now. You could say AJ Foyt Racing is the worst because it's been a long time since they've been competitive. You could say Ed Carpenter is the worst because a while since they've been competitive, but McLaren is definitely number three.
I definitely agree with that. It's a clear tier one is
yeah.
Ganassi and Penske. And then the tier two kind of out there in no man's land is McLaren. But I want to bet, and I have no idea what the salaries are other than for someone like a Scott Dixon or someone like that. I really wonder if McLaren probably pays more.
I don't think
than
so.
Than Ganassi or Penske. You don't think so?
Well, I think Scott Dixon probably makes more. I think the way Penske, I know how Penske structures their contracts, mm-hmm. and they structure it very uniquely compared to most race teams. So mm-hmm. while the base, you know, base salary might be quote unquote low,
lots of bonuses.
You know, there's a lot of different ways the drivers can earn bonuses plus personal services contracts with, mm-hmm. you know, a whole host of number of companies and whatnot. So I don't think they might make just as much, if not more, but you know, what's outlined in the contract as this is how much money you get. All three of the Penske drivers earn the exact same amount. I know that much.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do you think this is a good move? I think it's a good move for him. I don't know where else he would have gone to like improve his standing or his ride at this point. Maybe at the end of this contract, we'll revisit that.
Excuse me. It's an interesting time because I think as much as Scott Dixon is the Iceman / the Iron Man, someday he will retire. I think Will Power is probably getting close to hanging it up, not because he can't do it, but I think because of, you know, he seems like he wants to spend more time with his family, especially after Liz was sick so much last year. So I think like just looking at those two guys alone, there's some top spots opening up soon, especially if some driver on one of the top teams doesn't do very well. I'm not saying like mm-hmm. Dixon, like, I don't know, one of the other drivers there, something like that. Or you know, maybe Newgarden decides he wants to start his own team. I'm spitballing.
Go back to Carpenter.
Yeah, to go back to Ed Carpenter. Crazier things have happened. So anyway, let's continue.
All right. That was the first piece of news. The second thing is we have a glimpse of Helio Castroneves, I guess, Indy 500 car. Did you see this livery?
Yeah.
And this, so it's just blue and white.
Yeah.
Sponsored by a company called Cleveland Cliffs, which apparently
sounds depressing.
The largest flat rolled steel company in North America. Oh. They have been with Meyer Shank since 2022. And they're going to have a presence also on Tom Blomqvist and Felix Rosenqvist's car. I don't know. It's going to be kind of interesting, I guess, to see Helio in a car that looks so different. I guess it wasn't that weird to see him in a Meyer Shank car because those cars still looked like that team's. But this is going to be completely unique. So
I think, I think I would have agreed with you when he was post Penske, but because I'm used to him being in a couple different colored cars over the last few years, it didn't strike me as odd today. I know exactly what you mean, though, and I get it, but it didn't strike me as odd.
I just mean that it wasn't the pink and black of the Meyer Shank cars that we'd seen over the last few years. Sure. So
yeah, but still,
he's going to stand out. Yeah. He's going to be different. And I don't know. This livery does not excite me. It's just the blue and white. It's very simple, but it still looks good. Yeah. I like the little flash of green going down the fin on the back of the car. Yeah. So, I mean, another sponsor where I had never heard of them. And it's definitely more of a business to business thing, because I was 100%. Reading that the mufflers on the car are created by this company in their Columbus, Indiana facility. Okay. And so they make a crowd barrier that I guess Meyer Shank uses during the weekend. So they really have like the business to business relationship with them. And that's kind of cool. This is doing the job it's supposed to do in terms of sponsorship. I'd never heard of them, and now I looked up what this company is, and now I'm aware of who they are, even if I'm not going to be buying some kind of steel apparatus from them at any time soon.
Alrighty, what's next?
Okay, last piece of news before we jump into the St. Pete and just season prediction stuff is we're going to see a split practice at St. Pete for the first time. They're trialing it. I guess we're going to see 20 minutes of the cars running on track, like all 27 cars, and then it'll be split for the rest of practice. So that the next 55 minutes of practice, we'll see, I guess, split down the middle. Yeah, and it's 27 cars, so I guess we're going to see a group of 14 and a group of 13. But that will hopefully alleviate some of the drivers' complaints about
traffic.
Just kind of, exactly. Especially on a street course.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed. I am assuming I will not be able to watch practice on Friday. Maybe Saturday morning when I'm laying in bed. If I don't know what time Saturday's practice is, probably 10 or 11. I had it up. Yeah, if it's 10, I might watch, you know, the first half or so.
Oh, we can have it on in the groomsmen room.
Yeah, I'm just saying if it's early enough, I'll be watching it just relaxing in bed, because I am not trying to get up early. So, yeah. Anyway, all right, we'll jump into predictions. Here's what it's going to do. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, I don't know,
9:35 a.m. is the second practice.
Cool, so, yeah. I will definitely be watching that in bed then. 10 or 11 predictions, a couple St. Pete predictions at the end. We're going to keep the St. Pete ones simple and short since we're doing a bunch of these today. And then, yeah, my first race of the year in person will either be Indy 500 or sometime in June. We'll see.
What about me?
I don't know. I can't answer for you. Right. I said my first race. I didn't say our first race.
I'm not getting invited to these.
I'm ignoring you. Okay, let's start with a fun one. Maybe fun. You're gonna want to have the 2024 schedule in front of you. Excluding the Indy, actually, the first two questions are excluding the Indy 500. Excluding the Indy 500, what will the best race this year be?
One of the Milwaukee races.
Okay. I am going to say a repaved Mid-Ohio will be a lot of fun this summer. I guess I know the answer for my second question here. What will the best non-Indy 500 oval be?
No, I changed my mind. Nashville Super Speedway for that.
All right. Well, you took mine there. So I'm going to say Iowa. The late afternoon evening race, you know, it's not a night race.
So Joseph Newgarden's only going to win by a lap and a half instead of two laps?
Only four laps instead of five.
Got it.
Okay. Now I need you to go to the 2023 standings that I asked you to pull up before we recorded. This is a two-parter. Look at the standings and tell me the driver that will drop the most positions at the end of this season standings, and then also what driver will have the biggest improvement.
Wow. Okay. So I don't know about this, but I'm just going to kind of spitball it. I have a feeling that Romain Grosjean is going to drop. I don't think he's going to do well at Juncos.
But he's going to have the biggest drop of anybody?
Well, he's 13th.
So. Right, but like how much lower can he go? Like he'll probably like look at the other Juncos guys. Oh, the other Juncos guys.
Canepino was 21st, yeah, so that'd be a terrible. Pretty big drop.
All right, yeah, you're fair. That's fair. For some reason, I thought... So I was looking at Ilott and being like, Ilott, like that's only three, but Canepino is much...
Got it. No, I think Romain's okay. Going to be down the order. I just don't, for some reason, think he's going to be able to drive the cars for that team. And what'd you say, the biggest improvement?
Yeah.
Marcus Armstrong.
Okay. All right. For biggest drop, I'm going to take a hot take. I'm going to do some hot takes in this, so when we look back at this at the end of the season, we can probably just laugh at how ridiculous I was. I'm going to say, listen, for almost, I think, every season since 2004 or 2005, Scott Dixon has finished in the top six in the standings and top four in like 18 of the 20 years or something like that, 20 of 22. I think this year is the year Scott Dixon has a drop. I think for whatever reason, it's just, time catches up to everybody. I think the biggest improvement, let me get your take on this. Should I go with a hot take on this or a not safe, but like a non-hot take?
Give them both. Why not?
Okay. I'm going to say Santino Ferrucci has a big jump with their...
Okay.
Their technical Penske Alliance, whatever it's exactly called, I forget.
Mm-hmm.
And my safer pick is Christian Lundgaard. I think he'll be top five in the standings at the end of the year.
Well, that wouldn't be a super big gain for him. So, because he finished eighth.
If he goes to like second, like six spots is a pretty big jump.
Yeah, but Santino going from 19th to 13th, I could easily see.
Yes.
To get jump six spots. So I actually think Santino's the easier, not a hot take. It's like, I see that as he has the talent. I'm pretty sure if he does well on a few of these oval races for Foyt, he could easily jump his way up. I don't know about the top 10, but we'll see.
I wanted to pick Malukas, but him missing the first race, which we will have an answer on who the replacement is. Actually, tomorrow morning, so Tuesday morning, there'll be the answer on that, even though I'm pretty sure we all can figure out who it's going to be at this point. But all right, let's move on here.
And it's Tony Kanaan.
Yeah. I'm just curious. This isn't really like a prediction, but do you think, which actually I need to maybe buy some of these, the IndyCar trading cards that were announced, I think they come out like this week or next week. Will you buy some? And B, do you think they will become, I don't want to say popular, but do you think fans will kind of bring them, like, do you think fans will enjoy them?
Do they have autographed ones?
They do.
Yeah, so if they have the limited autographed ones like F1 was doing, I don't see them ever getting to that level. And thank you still again for telling me about those early, the F1 ones, so that I could buy in early and then sell them high. I made some good money on the ones that I sold. But the IndyCar ones, I don't see them getting up that high, but I do see them becoming something desirable online. I think there are enough IndyCar fans that will be interested in having them. So I will probably be buying some.
Yeah, the shipping is March 14th, so 10 days from when we record today, next Thursday, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I will probably start with a hobby box or two, because you need to get the hobby box to actually get an autograph and take it from there. Obviously, if you see my Twitter, I'm wheeling and dealing cards left and right, like every day, especially lately. So I'm pretty in tune with how the market is. I don't think they're going to be as popular as F1 cards or NASCAR cards.
Oh, I need to get in on those, actually.
the NASCAR ones are pretty good, and they're real, like the quality is really, and that's my like one concern with the IndyCar ones is part like Parkside, they have the National Women's Soccer League, which is they're nice, but they don't have the license for a lot of these. So like you need a license to have like, you know, the Philadelphia 76ers logo on the jersey, on the card. And there's very few licenses out there for the major sports. So, you know, the only thing Parkside has is IndyCar. I'm on their website right now. The IndyCar is the only thing they have right now. In addition to, you can buy a IndyCar. So wow. there's not
the
a lot of
Women's Soccer League is off there. Oh yeah, I'm seeing that. Okay.
Yeah. So hold on. National U.S. Women's National Team. Okay, they have the U.S. Women's National Team from 2023. So that's, you know, current, and
yeah,
they have some sort of Pronto subscription for 2024, which is weekly stuff that comes out, maybe 28 weeks. I don't know. I'm not a soccer fan, so I won't be buying, but so that would be my fear. My worry is resale value for, you know, because even within the major sports, there are certain manufacturers that are more sought after in football, in baseball, in hockey, basketball. So that would be my one fear, is resale value plus quality. Because the major manufacturer that makes some of the major sports also does NASCAR. So they're really nice.
The Tops you're talking about?
No, Panini.
Oh, Panini. Okay. So it's the only two I know.
Yeah, there's a couple. Like Upper Deck is the only one that does hockey anymore. But Upper Deck is still, you know, better quality than Parkside. It's Parkside, right? Yeah, Parkside.
Yeah, let's corner the market on these.
That's, I mean, it's, I'm going to buy at least one or two boxes for sure without even thinking about it, because $90 a box is super cheap to me. And it's a good price.
Mr. Moneybags over here.
No, I mean, listen, I've spent way too much money on cards in the last couple of years. Not as much as some people, but like, okay, we should get back to predictions. What, other than us talking about IndyCar cards off and on all season, will be the most annoying storyline this year?
Ooh. The most annoying storyline.
Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and this is Pit Pass F1, a brand new podcast that'll take you closer to the action of the world's most prestigious motorsport. From Monaco to Miami and Australia to Azerbaijan, Pit Pass F1 is on the ground and has you covered. Esteemed F1 journalists Julianne Serasoli and Chris Medland will take you inside the sport every round. They'll keep you up to date with the latest news breaking in Formula One and the most influential views shaping the world of Grand Prix racing. Every Friday, we'll be bringing you a track guide and race preview, and Chris and Drew will be in your feed every morning from Saturday through to Monday to keep you up to date on all the day's action on and off the track. So if you want to be in the know on the latest in Formula One, subscribe wherever you get your favourite podcasts and visit us at evergreenpodcasts.com. Pit Pass F1, a brand new show for Evergreen Podcasts.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.
Wow, I actually don't know. I think the storyline that's going to get old is the will-they-won't-they storyline about Honda staying in the series and all the speculation about that.
So I think you can lump into that anything about chassis discussion or engine discussions in general. I'll give you all of that as one big storyline. And I will take... I will take the Alex Palou lawsuit negotiations, lawsuit stuff that will be ongoing for eternity at this rate.
Yeah. Can't wait till he gets to see Zach Brown in the paddock.
Yeah, seriously. Okay, speaking of engine discussions, will we have a decision by the end of the season? So when we do our season recap and we talk about these predictions, will we have a decision on a chassis? Like, will a chassis timeline be decided on? B, a new engine formula be decided on? And C, a decision on what Honda's doing?
I think, I don't know if you just heard my stomach.
I did, yes.
That really weird noise.
You should. Yeah, I 100% did.
It sounded like a dog. It almost sounded like it was Cooper, but it was my stomach.
Yep.
I think that Honda will have decided. I don't know if they will have announced, but they probably will. I don't think we will have anything on the other two. We'll be getting, and I don't mean this to be insulting to any like one in IndyCar, but Mark Miles and some of the leadership at IndyCar is very good at saying a lot without giving anything away when they want to keep something secret. And obviously Roger Penske loves to keep his cards close to the vest. I think we're going to get a lot of hints, but we're not going to know anything.
Okay. All right. I will say that no, we will have decisions on nothing. But I think by the end of the calendar year, at least the Honda decision will be made.
Okay, so we're like kind of agreed, but I think Honda's going to announce earlier.
Okay. Who is our 2020, at the end of the season, who is the 2024 season champion?
Should I do some hot takes now too?
If you want, you can do whatever you want.
Okay. I'm going to go with Alexander Rossi. I don't think that's actually a hot take.
No, that's like a lukewarm take.
The champion.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think it would be a little bit of a dark horse.
Yeah.
I mean, you would expect him to be well within the top 10, probably even the top 5, but I think he's bound to get a championship at some point.
All right, I'm taking Pato. I think he's going to step up to the plate this year. I think last year was a great year despite not having a win. So I think it's going to be him. Okay. Indy 500 winner.
Okay.
Who's your pick?
The Indy 500 winner. All right. This might be a little mean. I don't know if it's going to be mean but I'm going to say Ed Carpenter wins so that he can retire. Like he can just be like, I've accomplished what I needed to accomplish in this sport, and now I don't have to keep driving on the ovals. Someone can just have this car, and I'll be a team owner now.
Okay. All right. I am going to take, in the same vein as my most improved, Santino Ferrucci. I think he's going to improve on his podium third place last year and pull it off this year. Okay. Team-wise this year, who will be the best team? And this doesn't necessarily have to be who is the most, who has the most points team-wise at the end of the year. This just could be the most impressive team this year.
Okay. In that case, the most impressive, I think, let's go with I'm hoping. I think I want to see Meyer Shank improve and do better and get some good results. And I think Tom Blomqvist is somebody who, if you're going to put him in the car, he's going to get everything out of it that it's going to have in it.
I feel like this is like a semi hot take. If you look at the first half of their season last year, not the second half,
I know, I think
Ray Hall will be a very impressive team. What I wanted to say was Arrow, because I've been on this Arrow theme this episode, but I wanted to switch it up a little bit there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Best team, rookie of the year. And just a reminder, this is more for everybody since you and I talked about who the rookies are before the episode. Technically, RC Enerson is a rookie, although he will likely only be in the Indy 500. Technically, Kyle Larson is an IndyCar rookie. He will definitely only be in the Indy 500. Kiffin Simpson, he will be in all races. Linus Lundqvist is still a rookie. He will be in all races. Christian Rasmussen will be in 12 or 13 races. Obviously, he will miss. He will miss. Let's go down to the schedule here. He's going to miss five.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he will miss five. And then lastly, Tom Blomqvist, who will be in all. We are ignoring any other one-off rookies that have not yet made themselves known, / Dale Coyne Racing's TBA / TBA for both entries. Mm-hmm. So who is your pick for Rookie of the Year?
I think I have to choose him. I think I'm going with Linus. I just don't see how it could really be anybody else, given the equipment and his talent. That kind of is the perfect formula.
All right. I will take. All right. It's not the most inspiring group ever. So I'm just going to take Christian Rasmussen.
Maybe would have been my other pick.
Yeah. We should just leave it there and not say anything else on this. Okay. Will we have a first time winner this year? Bonus points if you can guess who.
I definitely always want to say yes, so I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
And it's going to be Stingray. I'm just kidding. It's going, I don't mean to be mean, but we can just leave that in there.
Yeah, we're going to, I don't even have time to edit this week, so. The editing is going to be very quick this week, I should say.
First time winner. Wow. You know what? I'm just going to say it's Pietro Fittipaldi, just because I feel like that would be very interesting for him to come in and do that. I know he's not a rookie anymore, but he still hasn't won any of our race.
A first time winner. Yeah. Now, since I said Pietro. Ferrucci will win the Indy 500, I should probably also have him as my pick for first time winner.
That would make sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can pick someone else if you like.
No, I'll stick with that. I think that's fine. All right. We have one more season prediction. And then we'll get into St. Pete predictions. We have some cool sponsor announcements coming up soon-ish, hopefully next week. I have a conference call Wednesday late afternoon to go over stuff with said sponsor. So, yeah, we will.
I'll be calling in from the Caribbean.
It's in 2 days. You're not going to be in the Caribbean.
Oh, this Wednesday. Yes. Okay.
And the last question, my computer auto-corrected said last name. How many drivers will Dale Coyne have this season? Which my computer corrected to Dale Cone.
Like an ice cream shop. How many drivers will they have in total?
Yes.
Wow. Are we going to do an over-under here or just guess a number?
Just guess a number.
Okay, I'm guessing five. Just total. Okay,
I'm going to guess four, which I'm not doing to just like screw with you, Price is Right style. Four was what I was set on, unless you picked it when I asked the question. Okay, St. Pete predictions. Before we get there, reminder, Frenchie's on vacation next week for his honeymoon. Please leave him alone, and I will have the worst co-host we have ever had on the show.
You don't have to leave me alone. I'll be like laying on a beach. You can message me and,
you know, leave him alone.
No one ever messages me anyway.
Yeah, his future wife will be very mad if he spends all week sitting on the beach talking about racing.
Well, she naps.
Yeah. Well, listen, just shut up and let me talk.
All right. I don't want to be completely disconnected from racing. That's like,
yeah, be disconnected.
My lifeblood.
Enjoy your vacation.
All right.
Our guest co-host will be very disappointing. He is not important. He's not that interesting.
I have faith in him.
He's kind of a smelly, disgusting human being, but...
Does he have a microphone?
I don't know.
Okay. That's what I was wondering. I was thinking about this.
I'm not prepared. Our NASCAR guests, I will probably still be hungover when I record anyway. Our NASCAR guests have microphones. They are very professional setup. But
I know who they are. Yeah.
Yes. This guest is not doing both episodes. All right. Who will the pole winner be this weekend for race number one of 17 in St. Pete?
Colton Herta.
Damn you. Okay, I'm going to take Alex Ross.
Like, he's going to win the championship, and then something's going to happen, unfortunately.
No, he's not going to do that.
I know. It's unfortunate. Who'd you say?
Like I will take Rossi, like I said.
Okay.
And who's having a bad weekend?
A bad weekend at St. Pete. Can I just say, well, I'm not going to say an entire team. Never mind. Let's go with Rinus VK.
Okay. I will take Augustin Canapino. Sophomore slump.
You mispronounced his name to be extra disrespectful.
Well, you know, listen, how respectful was he to his former teammate at the end of last year?
Yeah, I'm not touching that one with a 10-foot pole.
And who will have, lastly, who will have a good weekend?
And so this is where we can say someone who's good in relative terms.
Yep.
Like someone who do you expect to finish last that doesn't do that poorly. So I'm going to say that, wow, this is actually harder than you would expect. Let's go with Graham Rahal.
Okay.
He's going to have a good weekend.
Yeah, I will take...
Hasn't he won St. Pete? He won like a long time ago, like 2008 or something, right?
Yeah, I think that was his first win.
Yeah.
I will take Callum Ilott, who I think is going to be the McLaren replacement for Mr. Malukas for at least the first race, likely only the first race. So
if it's not him, do you want to just pick that car?
I will pick the six car either way. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, cool.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to get to. I just couldn't figure out how to word that. All right. We've been talking for 40 minutes. I'm tired. Everybody enjoy St. Pete this weekend. We will not be tweeting racing stuff other than if I, you know, maybe from our personal accounts here and there throughout the weekend. But for the most part, neither of us, especially Frenchie, will have any time for that. So enjoy the weekend.
I plan to watch like qualifying on the altar.
Yeah. What time is qualifying on Saturday?
I think it's like, well,
it's
no,
probably like
it'll be done. It'll be done, I think, because the ceremony doesn't start until later in the day. So qualifying is at, we, I guess we should give the times, right? Why not? Since we no longer cover the other series with open wheels. So practice 1, 2:45 p.m. on
Friday.
Wait, this all says the same day, but that's wrong. Everything on the app, everything says March 9th.
Yeah, that's not possible. But continue.
Yeah, like, okay. Well, actually, no, this is correct. Never mind. Practice 1 is the 8th at 2:45 p.m. So that's Friday at 2:45.
Yeah.
Practice 2 is March 9th at 9:35 a.m.
Likely we'll watch some.
The Fast 6 is at 3:15 p.m. So it's like qualifying starts at 2 p.m. on Saturday. So the ceremony isn't until like 5:30. We're going to be taking photos. We can watch it on our phones. Yeah.
Okay, as long as Michelle doesn't rip our balls off, I will watch qualifying on my phone.
Whoa, you said her name. No, I'm just kidding. We've already said her name on this. That's only your lady friend that we don't say her name on the show.
Yeah, so as long as she doesn't like take our testicles apart piece by piece, I will happily watch qualifying Saturday on my phone.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll bring my iPad so I have a bigger screen.
Whatever you want. All right.
That sounds fun. That's what I want to be doing on my wedding day. It seems appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah. It certainly does. All right. Well, everybody enjoy the weekend. I'll be back next week with a disappointing co-host to discuss and break it down, and then we'll keep next week short, most likely, because I'll be very tired. Okay, toodaloo.
Hi, listeners. We wanted to take a moment to tell you about another podcast from Evergreen Podcasts and Sound Talent Media called Pit Lane Parlay. Pit Lane Parlay is the go-to podcast for IndyCar and motorsports related news. Each episode, we discuss things like our favorite drivers, news clips from the last week, and generally giving each other a hard time about predictions we've made in the past and or life stories that have come up recently. We really have a lot of fun with it and really enjoy each other's company, and we hope you can come join us too. Join Pit Lane Parlay by following us on your favorite podcast today.